Today I'm talking with Shuji Honjo. I'm actually in Tokyo in Japan, and we're at the Startonomics event being hosted by Geeks on a Plane. And we're here to talk for about an hour about the internet in Japan and, what Shuji has been up to. So can you maybe take it away and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yep. Currently I am independent consultant, clients include large corporations and new ventures and also the investors, and primary focus is new business development. And both otherwise, IT, communication, internet, and that sort of sector is a primary focus for me. In addition to that, I also teach at MBA program at Tama University Graduate School that is based in Shinagawa. It's a nice program for the well business people. And I teach primarily the entrepreneurship there. So, chronological order. I started my career at Boston Consulting Group Hotel, and I went to Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania for MBA study, and I joined Computer Sciences Corporation in California, and I was the first Japanese person employee at CSC, and I was working for the re-engineering project. And actually, that is also the first Japanese person who was involved in re-engineering at the time. And after that, I went back to Japan, and I joined a company called CSK. And CSK used to be the parent company of Sega, a game company. Sega is not doing well, but at the time, Sega was a kind of very big giant in the gaming industry. So I worked as the executive assistant to the chairman of CSK Sega Group. And so not only the CSK side, but also I worked with the Sega Soft Networks, which initiated the network game business in the early timing. So, but unfortunately, it was before broadband, so it failed in a bad way. I spent a lot of money, but we couldn't build this in a profitable way. So after leaving CSK Sega Group, I became a founder of the Tokyo office of General Atlantic. General Atlantic is a Connecticut-based growth capital company, growth capital investor. And that company incubated and invested E-Trade, Priceline, and so forth.
Here in Japan or in the U.S.?
U.S.
So the company that you're doing investments for, you incubated Priceline and E-Trade?
That's right. And I headed the Tokyo office in Japan practice. So I helped these companies Japan entry and sometimes Asian expansion. And one of our portfolio companies, when I was at General Atlantic, we invested in Oak Pacific, that is now currently in China, one of the largest social networking, social web company.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, until just 1 year ago, half a year before the subprime crash, I recommended General Atlantic to close down the Tokyo office, and because something wrong was going on. Then they closed the office in 2 weeks after my recommendation. Right after that, I had a call from my friend who was investment banking head at Lehman Brothers Japan, and he was eager to launch the principal investment team. Until that time, the Lehman Japan didn't have that team, and so I was asked to build the technology-focused team, and the team building was good, but as you know, the Lehman Brothers disappeared.
But can you help me understand your role here? Dave said you helped with some significant investments more recently here in Japan, is that right?
Significant investment,
like in the internet space, is that correct? Like, what has been the thing that you've done, like over the last 5 years, has been a big success on the internet?
Okay, big success in the internet. In the internet space, in Japan, honestly speaking, the general trend didn't invest in the Japanese companies. So rather, we choose a Chinese company like Oak Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially in the internet space, that's biggest achievement, I think. Then, this is one of the reasons why we didn't invest in Mixi or Gui or some other companies. Was,
you did or you didn't invest?
We did not. Because,
let me understand. So your role now is an investor. You're investing in startups. I mean, you work at university, you teach at university.
My major job is consultant.
Mm-hmm.
So the several companies, I'm helping several companies in the growth mode. The CEO's technology is one company, and other companies, not only the startups, but also the public company, but still in the growth phase.
Mm-hmm.
So financially, I act sometimes as an angel investor, but primary work I do is a consultant now.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe you can tell us, one of the things is most of the people here, we're an internet, and we're US-based internet guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a market we know. We don't understand Japan at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things, this is my first, I've only been in Japan now for 24 hours, and one of the things that I'm learning about Japan is it's quite closed. for people who are non-Japanese. We don't understand the culture, we don't understand the language. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be a lot of important things about the way business is done in Japan which we don't get. So if we have a successful American internet business and we have money, we have good technology, mm-hmm. good resources, mm-hmm. good contacts, mm-hmm. but we want to bring it into Japan, mm-hmm. that's not an easy thing to do, is it?
Well, you're right. Well, the previous discussion was similar to that, but a number of prominent US companies, not only US companies, but European companies and other guys too, but made a lot of mistakes and also failed. And even, well, but after, well, after some, well, not only the internet company, but for example, Coca-Cola, Louis Vuitton, well, this has made a fortune from this market, but it takes a long, long time. So, well, through my experience with General Atlantic, well, I have a lot of portrait companies enter here, and they make common mistakes. Like, one thing is, well, one typical mistake is the timing. Well, as a company, without paying significant attention to this market, it is not so easy to enter. And as you mentioned that, the market is different and the culture is different, so that customer behavior is different. So without paying some, well, critical mass of the attention, just rather bringing the U.S. methodology and approach to here, it doesn't work. So then,
because I want to give you one example. I mean, I used to live in Silicon Valley, mm-hmm. and followed the rise of the internet, and one of the companies that obviously was doing well 10 years ago was Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And Yahoo is owned everywhere in the world, mm-hmm. as I understand, mm-hmm. by Yahoo US, mm-hmm. except for Japan. Mm-hmm. Right? In Japan, it's like owned by a totally different organization.
Right.
But it's still under the Yahoo brand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. I mean, why is Japan so different from the rest of the world that can you help? And why did Yahoo, mm-hmm. they obviously did it for business reasons. Why did they do that?
Okay, so my understanding is also similar to Italy, but the Masayoshi-san, at a relatively early stage of the company, so Masayoshi-san approached to the CEO directly, and the sales talk is, well, let's build a Japan operation together. And Japan, Japanese market, well, the second largest GDP country, but difficult market, we'll help you. And so, and the Masayoshi-san invested in both, well, Italy and Apple, and so in return, he got substantial ownership of Japan entity. So that's the way they did. So, and well, I'm in Jerry.
Why did Yahoo not just say, look, this is the internet now? Uh-huh. We don't need it. It doesn't matter about business relationships, mm-hmm. because we're Yahoo, we're an international brand. Mm-hmm. We have the consumers already, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we're just going to get them in Japan the same mm-hmm. way. Why didn't that work the same way? Why did Yahoo feel the need to have, and does, why does this seem to be the case that you need so much help as an international company coming to Japan?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe these are very low level cultural questions. I just don't understand them, and I think a lot of people are in the same position as me.
So in the past, for eBay is a typical example. They enter here and failed badly. Also, they initially partnered with NEC Group, NEC Group.
Google's doing okay there, I think.
Okay, but not so great. The market share is gradually catching up, but comparing with other developed countries, the market share is relatively low.
So what's the number one search in Japan?
Yahoo. Almost dominant. Yahoo dominated the search, especially for PC.
So the deal that Yahoo did was a very, very good deal.
Yes, unbelievably good. So, Yahoo...
So what percentage of search does Yahoo have, and what percentage does Google have?
Yahoo now is 6 to 70, mm-hmm. so definitely over 50.
Mm-hmm.
Google, 20 or less.
The Google's increasing is
for the mobile phone search category. Google is gradually catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Younger people use Google more mm-hmm. and more. So the difference would become smaller and smaller, but it will take time because especially for PC users, Yahoo is kind of automatic choice default in this country.
Right, and so everybody just knows Yahoo and that's it.
Yeah.
That's how it's been in the US, but consumers are switching to Google because they get better search results.
Well,
I mean, does Yahoo give that much better search results here? Surely not, right? Or do they?
Mm,
okay, let me ask you. Okay. Which search do you use?
Both Yahoo and Google.
Which do you use the most?
Okay, blog search, Yahoo, and just keyword search, Google.
Hmm. Interesting.
I don't think that, well, it's probably the functional, or the user experience difference in the US, probably the Google is much better user experience than Yahoo,
right.
But here, not a big difference, I guess. That's why people continue to use Yahoo.
Now, okay, let's take back 10 years. Let's say if Yahoo had tried to make it themselves without making the deal with, mm-hmm. I think it was SoftBank Japan, right?
Yeah.
Let's say Yahoo hadn't done that and were just on their own. Who would be number one in search today in Japan?
Google, maybe. I'm not sure, because the problem is, Yahoo Japan was built, Masa-san asked Taizo-san, the young brother, he was a college student then, and the Taizo collected a bunch of college students to build Yahoo Japan, mm-hmm. initially. So it's a kind of very venture-like startup. So it accelerated the startup of Yahoo Japan. But probably if Yahoo US tried to enter here, well, probably they couldn't do that, I guess. Mm-hmm. So the launch speed would be, well, less. So there are several competitors like Google, MSN, and well, also the, at the time several Japanese local search engine companies, and also so the US guys like InfoSeek mm-hmm. are there. And but so probably the more closer battle was there if Yahoo US entered 100% subsidiary in Japan.
So now you said when I asked about, well, it was a successful deal for Yahoo, and you said mm-hmm. very successful.
Yeah, it was a successful deal for okay.
It was good for Yahoo and it was good for SoftBank.
Yes, right. That's right.
So everybody's been a great deal.
Yes,
except for Google.
Right.
Competitors. So now this is what I don't understand. Yahoo's consumer marketing, they've got a brand, they don't need intermediaries, they go direct to consumers. Mm-hmm. Why is it so important then to have a local partner in Japan like SoftBank to help make the deal work?
Very good question. You're right. Yeah. If that is business-to-business relationship and partnership, that sort of things, that sort of business infrastructure is important, but for consumers, it's not the case. One thing I can tell at least is that hiring and team building. Mm-hmm. When I worked with General Atlantic, I helped a lot of companies, also including consumer citizens. But the one common mistake is recruiting and team building. Mm-hmm. Wrong country manager, wrong team, and the less quality people, they instantly hire and they spend 2 or 3 years without any results. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why, but even the great company in the United States, they often make recruiting mistakes. And if you hire the wrong country manager, it's at the end. Unfortunately, that I very often see such mistakes.
So, I mean, but don't you think Yahoo just could have come in and hired a great country manager for Yahoo Japan and they would have been in a good place? I mean, what did SoftBank do for Yahoo Japan that made the deal so important? So recruiting, team building, mm-hmm. okay, but there's got to be much more than that.
Of course, they utilize the U.S. asset, right? I mean, the software and system. But the content itself, they created locally a lot. Mm-hmm. So that's one major difference. Mm-hmm. So especially for consumers. This is not the U.S. guys. Cyworld in Korea, Cyworld and other, the Korean good companies. They entered Japan, but also no results. So not only the team building things, but also the localization of content and also the experience is critical. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, nobody uses that.
One of the things, I mean, for a guy like me, when I choose to use a search engine, even today, I wouldn't consider using Yahoo just because the page, it's too much mess on. I don't want to see lots of advertising everywhere. I don't like the search results as much. Mm. Google's a clean, simple, fast interface, which is what I want. Mm-hmm. And a lot of consumers are going to that direction in the US, and that's why there's a shift away from MSN and AOL and Yahoo over Google. When you sit in Japan, that Google and Yahoo, the results are similar. Mm. Is the Yahoo page in Japan like Yahoo in the US, where it's got lots of
content?
Right. And Google is a clean...
Yeah, clean, almost nothing.
So another
example is Naver in Korea. Mm-hmm. Naver is super content-rich portal site. Mm-hmm. And search engine market share, Naver is, away number one in Korea. So I think that the nature of customers, users, will be very different. So as a result, the Japanese, typical Japanese search engine users, they love some information and content together with that.
But do then. So here's my question on this, and I'll try and ask this in a really polite way as I can, but I'm going to be direct. Mm-hmm. Does this mean, could this be saying that Japanese consumers are maybe a little bit behind because they're not yet realizing how important a clean interface is, and maybe over time they will, and then they'll move more from Yahoo to Google as is happening in the rest of the world? Or is there something different here that I don't understand?
My observation is different. Because the Naver example in Korea and Yahoo Japan example and Google in US example, I don't think that all the human being loves that simple interface.
Mm-hmm. So you think people are happy in that?
Yeah.
And you personally, do you use Google for keyword search? So you like the simple interface?
As default for the browser, I set Yahoo. Mm-hmm. But so the toolbar, I have Google toolbar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, it really depends on the taste of people. But probably the game will be more complicated in the near future because more and more search is done through mobile phone. Mm-hmm. So probably people's perception, also the demographics of the PC such users and the mobile such users are very different. And so the interface, of course, the size is different. So the mobile search market share game will be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about maybe just another company and how they would get in Japan. Because this is, I guess, what I'm interested to understand from you is you're a successful U.S. company. How do you break into the Japan market? I mean, Japan market's big, right? There's a lot of money in it. That's, otherwise, people wouldn't even make the effort. They'd be like, Japan, too much work. They're closed. We're not going to waste the time.
Right.
But the reality is it's a big market, so if you can do it right, there's a lot of money here.
Yeah.
So let's take Facebook. Mm-hmm. Is Facebook, do they have a Japanese partner?
Nope. Just by themselves.
Just by themselves.
Yep.
Now, I know Facebook has done a campaign where they have localization in every country. So that you can go translate the interface in the country, submit it, and then it's like a user-reviewed system. And they're ending up, as I understand, with pretty good localized translations. Have you used Japanese Facebook?
Yes. Yes.
How good is the translation? Is it a good translation?
The problem is not only the quality of translation, but if you use Japanese version of Facebook, you see a lot of English.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get a bilingual interface. So the worst thing is MySpace Japan uses lots of English. So, unfortunately, in the developed countries, Japanese people are the worst in English still.
Mm-hmm.
So even the people like this great company, many of them don't like to see so much English.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a mental hurdle. Well, of course, you can read Japanese, that is no problem, and Facebook provides appropriate translation. Many people, the Satomix participants, they use Facebook, but the ordinary people, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about social networking. What do people use in Japan instead of Facebook?
Okay, mostly Mixi.
Mixi, okay,
especially for PC, Mixi is kind of dominant. And GUI and other guys follow. And on the mobile phone, Mobile Gaytown from DNA and GUI, and sometimes of course, the Mixi provides the interface for mobile phone.
Mm-hmm. And is most of the usage on PC or desktop, or is it on mobile?
Okay, so here's some, interesting statistics trick. All the companies like Mixi, GUI, and DNA, they say, SNS usage now from mobile phone, it exceeded the PC and high growth, blah, blah, blah. But, if you read same content on PC, for example, just one screen, you may read a lot from PC. But over the mobile phone, you have to, you have to view like 10 pages to see the same content. So you better discount that. It means, still I think the PC, from the content viewed by people, the amount from PC is more than a mobile phone. But the growth rate from viewed by mobile phone is tremendous. So in the near future, it will really, in fact, it will exceed the amount from PC.
So it does, or it exceeds it now, or it will?
Will.
How far away?
Less than 5 years.
Hmm. Okay. So what would you say is the market share of Mixi versus Facebook in Japan?
Traffic-wise, 100 times.
Oh, 100 times. So Facebook 1%, Mixi is 100%, or 99%.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
So people almost don't use Facebook.
Right. Non-existent. Just geeks or the IT net industry people use that, but ordinary people, no.
Huh. So Facebook really maybe should have done a deal like Yahoo.
Right. Partner with. Based on the architecture of Facebook, not so easy to localize. It's very universal and consistent when it's a very clean and good architecture they have. But, when we think of just for Japan, some localization with partner and also the marketing might be helpful, at least. But even though if you partner with SoftBank or other guys, it doesn't guarantee success. Good example is MySpace. Mm-hmm. MySpace partner with SoftBank. It's a mess.
So MySpace did what Yahoo did.
Yeah.
And it didn't work for MySpace.
Right. No, it did not work.
So why did it not work?
Like I said, it's kind of, the three parts, I think. MySpace originally became popular with music content. Mm-hmm. But initially, MySpace Japan, they used just Western, especially US music content only, almost. And not Japanese, no local content. And plus, a lot of English. You have to see.
Mm-hmm.
And three, interface and the localization, they didn't do that. So that, from a Japanese perspective, it's kind of design-wise, some weird. So then now the focus is just creative things like musicians and, well, that sort of creative people. And, in that segment, I think the market share is gradually growing, but it means they cannot capture the ordinary people.
So, I mean, this is really interesting, because obviously you need to be able to localize in every country.
Mm-hmm.
But Japan is maybe a more closed country than other countries, but it's big enough to be important. There's got to be other countries that are closed like Japan, for example, North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know if there's Facebook in North Korea, but it's a very closed country. They have a very homogenous society.
Mm-hmm.
And so North Korea would probably require a lot of effort to do Facebook North Korea, except mm-hmm. that because the market's small and it's mm-hmm. obviously the political mm-hmm. system's different, mm-hmm. we don't make the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate summary that Japan is a very closed country as well, but it's a big market, so it's mm-hmm. worth making this effort mm-hmm. to understand this localization. Mm-hmm. And if you can do the localization well in Japan, given that it's one of the hardest big markets, then you're going to be able to do localization well in other countries as well. Like, if you understand how to do localization here, is that correct or is that not correct? Could you then be able to do a better job localizing in France and Germany, for example?
Good question.
Or Korea. So how did Yahoo do in China, for example?
Yahoo in China, good question. Almost nothing there, right?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Even though they did manage to do well with SoftBank.
Right.
Here in Japan.
I heard that one software, Yahoo Japan considered China entry, but they abandoned the Chinese market. Well, probably they thought it's too much work for them, I guess. Rather
just because the localization is so critical.
Yes, and plus I heard that on the Chinese countries, for example, even Google has a problem with government and regulation mm-hmm. and so forth.
Right.
So Yahoo Japan didn't like that.
Hmm.
But I heard that there's some internal discussion that some guys say, oh, we should enter China, it's a big market, not difficult, but in the long run, it's a fortune. But other guys said, well, no, it's a difficult country and country risk and politics.
Because what I'm getting from this conversation is that entering Asia in general is a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
for a lot of internet businesses, it's not going to be worth it.
I agree with that. For example, when I worked at General Alternative, if they don't have immediate business plan to exceed 10%, 10% of their total revenue mm-hmm. from Japan, don't enter Japan.
10%, huh?
Because it's costly. But if they can earn more than 10% revenue from Japan, it's worthwhile. Otherwise, it's kind of a threshold. This is my gut feeling from my experience.
Hmm.
Because from the top management attention, if you can get just 3% of the revenue from Japan, localization effort or special marketing, no way.
So in the case of Facebook, let's say I was Mark Zuckerberg and you're mm-hmm. sitting and talking to Mark Zuckerberg mm-hmm. about Facebook Japan, what would you be telling me to do?
Well, remain the same, no investment, very small investment and get small results, or work hard and finding partner and invest. And if you fall in the in-between, you just lose money.
So either go big or go home.
Yeah. Or remain very small.
Just and so it looks like what they're deciding to do based on what you're telling me is just that small.
I see.
So, but then what I'm seeing is an interesting thing is, are you familiar with Orkut?
Mm-hmm.
From Brazil,
yeah.
Social networking from Brazil. They're very strong in Brazil, mm-hmm. the Google social network, mm-hmm. but I'm also seeing just from friends in Brazil that a lot of them are moving on to Facebook.
Mm.
More and more of them are showing up on Facebook. Yes. Now, I don't know how the activity overall of Orkut is versus mm. Facebook, mm. but what I do know is that me with all my international friends, except mostly Brazil, mm. are on Facebook, mm. and so the Brazilians, if they want to participate internationally, mm. they've got to get onto Facebook too. Is this something that over in the end would end up bringing the MOBA from Mixi and the other sites onto Facebook long term, just because Facebook is dominant everywhere else?
This is you made a good point.
I'm sorry, I try not to ask too easy question.
They'll churn between SNS. Well, in Western world, so there was some churn in the past, like Bebo. And even in Japan, well, Mixi immigrants, Mixi refugees, and, well, I mean, Greece's growth rate is, well, the number of users, growth rate is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
It means Greece acquired several users from Mixi and Mobage.
Greece
is one of the hottest social networking services here.
Okay.
So there's charm, and in 5 years there may be another platform, another SNS or the sort of next generation SNS, and this newcomer might acquire substantial users from these existing services. So people say there's some first mover advantage. If you build a substantial customer base, you're okay. But consumers are, when we look at the gaming market in the past, every 4 years customers switch.
Mm-hmm.
So it might happen even in the social networking service. So maybe next generation Facebook might acquire a lot of users from Gree or Mixi.
Mm-hmm.
It might happen.
And I guess wait and see. So an area that I'm personally very interested in is affiliate marketing, direct response affiliate marketing, being able to sell things. It works very well in the US, Canada, Australia, the UK. I don't know anything about affiliate marketing in Japan. Does it even exist? I mean, I'm sure it does.
It does. Once there was some boom around affiliate marketing, especially for Rakuten, the electronic commerce side, kind of, well, shopping mall, virtual shopping mall. So Rakuten has tens of thousands of shops. And, of course, they provide some affiliate function. And well, several housewives and several brokers, they made a lot of money from affiliate. But additionally, the affiliate is, well, not tremendous existence in this country. But, well, affiliate is, has become a common thing here. But
let me give you an example from the from infomercials in the U.S. Have you heard of the ShamWow?
ShamWow?
No. So ShamWow, it's an infomercial. It's a funny infomercial by a guy wearing a headset selling, it's called a chamois. It's, it's a thing for wiping, for cleaning. So you can clean a desk, we can clean your car with it, and it's good for soaking up water and cleaning. It runs a lot of advertisements in the U.S. It's only infomercials, and he's selling a lot of volume. And it's becoming almost part of American pop culture now, the ShamWow. Because he's selling so much through direct response. He has all the metrics for his business, so every time he runs an infomercial, he knows he's going to make a certain number of sales, which pays for the infomercial, and pays for the product, and pays for returns, and he makes a profit. So is there that sort of stuff happening here in Japan? On TV, for example? I mean, do you have infomercials here in Japan?
I don't think so. I don't think infomercials is popular in this country yet.
But you have things like home shopping at work with people on TV.
Yeah.
But you, do you not have, like, a 30-minute infomercial selling some product for 30 minutes?
I see. Ah, TV shopping.
Well, Tish, I'm talking about, rather than like a home shopping network, I'm talking like a 30-minute program selling, or 15 minutes, talking about selling a product. Do you have that here in Japan?
Shorter time, like 3 minutes.
So ShamWow, I don't know the exact length, it might be 1 to 2 minutes for the, on TV, and it's very, very popular. So you must have that here. Call now, 1-800, all that
stuff. Same thing.
So is, and is there a lot of that here in Japan?
Yes.
And so, again, to tie this to my other question, if we've got ShamWow in the U.S., it's very successful. Does that commonly happen in that they take that brand here to Japan and sell it on TV?
Okay. Listen, one thing I can tell is that TV shopping type program. Most of the TV shopping program, they don't depend on one single product, but the shopping channel or shopping service company, they merchandise several things and, well, and today we recommend this product. And
so it's like the home shopping. And I understand that model. I'm talking specifically about you're watching a movie, and then there's after 15 minutes there's a break and you get 2 minutes of ads, right? And in those ads then, hey, call now, 1-800, whatever. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that.
This is the direct response industry. Where I'm going with this is it's the foundation of internet marketing, of affiliate marketing in the US. And so I'm interested to understand if there's that sort of stuff in Japan online as well.
In the regular TV commercial, like 15 seconds or 30 seconds, something is there, but infomercial in the regular TV program, I haven't seen that. No.
Have you seen it in the US?
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about, you just have never seen it here.
At least I can tell it's very rare.
And do you think that's rare because people don't buy it or it's not a developed market?
Interesting question.
I mean, what maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know. Maybe there's government regulation on that stuff that's too strong. Because from that becomes a metrics-driven business in that way of selling, which then applies online, and that's how a lot of traffic is driven in online internet U.S. commerce is through affiliate marketing. And affiliate knows he's going to get $20 commission for every sale that he makes of a certain product. And is that not as strong in Japan in the same way? I don't know. I mean, I don't know much about this.
Not strong. Is that information? Yeah, now I understand that. Very different market. Why they don't have such information?
Because you're still buying remotely. You're buying from this equivalent of, there is Amazon, right? Equivalent of Amazon in Japan, right? You can go online and click buy it. So if you're buying something remotely, it's the same as buying on TV. It's just a different way to sell it.
Right. Just regular TV shopping or regular, well, TV ad, that's all. And the information that you mentioned, very rare.
Do you hear about guys who are doing affiliate marketing? Have you ever heard of the concept of a CPA network, a cost per acquisition network, or an affiliate network?
Affiliate network, yeah, I know that.
Is this something you're very familiar with, or not so much?
Not so much. I'm not an expert.
Right, okay.
But affiliate, especially in culture-wise, not many people like that. Culture-wise,
they don't.
Why is that? Of course, the people who can get this commission, that'd be great, but Eastern conservative people see that that sort of business is a kind of second tier,
mm-hmm.
rather than first tier.
Mm-hmm. And so it causes problems, is that what you mean?
Not so many people are excited with that business.
Hmm.
Of course, there are a lot of people who are interested in that segment. But
because in the US, it's a lot of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here, is it more social pressure, do you think? I mean, because if people can make money at it, they would do it. Or is there pressure not to do that?
This is a completely different business. Like for example, network marketing, like Amway, New Skin, hate it.
Right, me too.
And affiliate marketing, I think that is similar to them, but it's pretty different. But still, how to make money, well, probably the social acceptance is less.
Because see, one of the changes that I see happening is that even big brands, big companies with big advertising budgets in the US are moving towards, and I don't think they're moving fast enough, but they're moving towards direct response style
mm-hmm,
campaigns.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they're trying to hard sell something, mm-hmm. but they're basing things around more metrics than just paying per click. Instead of like selling banner and selling it for 10 cents a click or 1 cent or half a cent, then they're expecting a follow-up action behind that, like the user did a viewing of a video, or the user opted in for a campaign. Something happened to justify more than just an initial acquisition, and that's a more direct response-focused campaign for a brand. That's the sort of stuff that's starting to happen more in the U.S., and that's where I see direct response having a lot of importance in top-tier type market.
It makes sense. Because, when I talk with internet-based marketing agency and so forth, the demand from their customers, large corporations, that sort of marketing is increasing here.
Right, because they don't want to be ripped off.
Right.
They don't want to go and pay $1 million on advertising and then get all these impressions
response. Right.
And so direct response is a key. And it's the direct response guys that understand how to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I see direct response is very important.
Probably in that aspect, U.S. is very advanced from this market. But I agree that even in this market, especially this year, I hear a lot of voices similar to that.
Right. We've got a few moments left, do we not? Do you have a couple more minutes?
No problem.
I'm really interested to understand, I don't know much about mobile in Japan, and I know that's a big topic, but maybe you could just take us through a few minutes of mobile internet and what's important about mobile internet in Japan that's different to the US. Now, consider someone that has a normal like tech guy that has an iPhone and uses Facebook and maybe has 3G and that stuff. What's different about mobile in Japan versus that?
Okay, so independent mobile users are not, the major mobile users are not geeks, the housewives, the young ladies and so forth, so they're not. Their literacy is not so high, kind of, I cannot say they are stupid, but not so intelligent, ordinary people. But
the real world.
The real world. And the cell phone is appealing to these guys, these people, and not only voice communication, but also, of course, browsing, data communication, and email. One major difference is content providers, a lot of content providers are there, and also not only the official site is iMode, like talking about the official site, but non-official sites, a lot of non-official sites are there, for example, mobile game from DNA, that is non-official sites. So variety of content and services are there, so it's very different from the US. And I understand that for iPhone, a number of applications and sites are there, but all the business people and geeks use iPhone here. The design and functionality is kind of, for example, if you receive email, most of the Japanese cell phone, you can understand with the finger and so forth, but iPhone, you not. And also the content provider from the iPhone, here, the existing content provided for ordinary cell phone, it is not available on iPhone. So it's pretty different. And how they use that? Typically, the two things. One thing is communication through mostly emails and also the content services, like I said. And the heavy traffic you can see is especially datacom. The heavy traffic is just before going to bed. So it's kind of not mobile phone, but personal phone, say, from their user's perspective. So before just going to bed, read a free mobile novel and that sort of thing they do. It's pretty different, I think.
Maybe I have to get you to show me some of this. We've talked about a lot of stuff. Is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't covered? Do you want to tell us more about you and your business or anything like that?
According to the technology statistics, and the amount of, by language, amount of blog contents, the Japanese language is the number one, the English is number two. So when we look at the population, probably Japanese people write a lot.
Right, I didn't know.
So and when I look at the Korean write a lot too.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying Japanese people write more than Americans?
Right. Absolutely.
How many people live in Japan?
About
US about 300 million.
130 million.
So 130 million people are writing more than 300 million people.
Yep.
Interesting.
So the content itself is pretty different. So here, the just ordinary housewife, just, oh, my baby something, or my cat something. The content, the value of content is kind of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the American blogs, so we see the similar things, but also, well, great logic, observation, and thoughts, and so forth. We can see a lot, but here, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of blog written in Japan is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
Cool. Anything else you want to talk about?
Okay, that's all.
Cool. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you for interviewing.